Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Kate Ariano, and I hope you all had a happy and safe winter break. We're glad to have you all back at UConn, both virtually and in person. Now, here is the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. The Undergraduate Student Government Senate voted 17-3 Wednesday night in favor of passing legislation that would condemn Capitol riot participants and white supremacists and demand that UConn defund the UConn Police Department, as well as reinstate the Connecticut Commitment, an initiative that provided free tuition to certain financially needy in-state students. Allison Cross reports for the Daily Campus that while USG senators agree that the organization should never endorse a political candidate, it was necessary to condemn the violence incited by President Donald Trump. The legislation also criticizes UConn's response to the riots, stating, USG condemns UConn for issuing only an email response to the Capitol riots and calls on them to take definitive action to show their support for all students of color. USG also passed a resolution that same night which declared racism a public health crisis in the state of Connecticut. 8 researchers from UConn have been selected for the 2020 list of highly cited researchers, published by Clarivate and the Web of Science Index. Thomas Alvarez reports for the Daily Campus that the researchers who are selected for this list are those in the sciences and social sciences who have authored several papers in the top 1% of their field by citation and year. Clarivate and Web of Science's overview page about the list says, researchers are selected for their exceptional performance in one or more of 21 fields. About 6,400 researchers were named to this list in 2020. For 5 of UConn's 8 recognized researchers, this will be their second year in a row on the list. Did you know that the first biodegradable and reusable face mask was developed right here at UConn? Rachel Phillipson reports for the Daily Campus that Thane Nugent, Thin Lee, Eli Curry, and Trey Nugent have filed for a patent on their FDA-approved masks. Lee said that while the mask has not been publicly tested, preliminary results show that the efficacy of the filter is at 92%, slightly lower than that of an N95 mask, but higher than that of a surgical mask. Common surgical masks are not degradable and are made from polypropylene. Lee said, our mask is made from poly-L-lactic acid, an FDA-approved material used in medical applications, which is completely safe and biodegradable. It will take some time before biodegradable masks such as these are made available to the general public, but Lee said, it could be a huge contribution to the environment and to society if the team were to sell the masks. Distance learning in the time of COVID-19 has presented a lot of challenges, one of which is a shortage of study space, especially if all of your classes are remote. Grace McFadden reports for the Daily Campus that there are still some options for on-campus studying if students need a change of scenery. The Homer Babbage Library will allow you to reserve study spaces on the 1, B, and Plaza levels of the building. Based on student feedback from last semester, Jean Nelson, the head of communications and engagement for the library, said changes have been made to the system. They've increased reservation time, added pictures of available seats, and identified which seats have power plugins available, so students can choose the most accommodating available space for their needs. Students can also use Nexus to reserve study spaces in buildings like McHugh Hall, the Information Technologies Engineering Building, and Oak Hall. Even though Wilbur's in the Wilbur Cross Building and the Chem Cafe in the Chemistry Building will be closed this semester, the Beanery, Up and Atom, and Bookworms Cafe will all be open for student use after the residential quarantine concludes on February 1st. As always, masks will be required to study in these spaces. The UConn Huskies women's basketball team faced the Arkansas Razorbacks last night, losing 87-90. The men played Butler on Tuesday night, taking the win with a score of 63-51. To wrap up this week's news, here is the weather forecast for those of you in the Storrs and Mansfield area. It's going to be cold, like really cold. There's a wind chill advisory today until noon, leaving the wind chill of the day in numbers as low as negative 15. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 4 and wind chill values around negative 9. Saturday will warm up ever so slightly with a high of 21, but will have wind chill values back as low as negative 9. Saturday night will be mostly clear with a low around 4, bringing us to a partly sunny Sunday with a high near 26. Sunday night, there is a 40% chance of some snow after midnight, but the sky will remain mostly cloudy with a low around 17. Hang tight, we will be right back with the rest of our show.
while listening to WHUS Stores, UConn's Sound Alternative.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut.
All right, here today I am talking to Aiden, who is the general manager of WHUS Radio. Aiden, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. It is a wonderful thing to be able to have our general manager here on Zoom, actually, because you're in Massachusetts right now, correct?
Yep, I am. I'm up in the far, far north. It's snowing right now, actually. I have to lasso up my sled dogs later on. but reporting in live from Massachusetts.
And about how far away in Massachusetts are you from UConn?
I'm really not that far. I'm closer than a lot of people I know. I'm only about an hour and 15 minutes out, give or take.
That's exactly how far I am, but in Connecticut.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My sophomore year, my roommate was from Greenwich and he had like a 2-hour commute and I always made fun of him for it because
Greenwich do be far in the little tiny panhandle of Connecticut, right? That's where it is.
Yeah, it's a panhandle.
Yeah, something like that. I'm terrible with geography. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about you. You're a digital media and design major, which I think is pretty cool. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what kind of classes you take and things you learn in those classes?
Yeah, for sure. So the thing with digital media and design is that there's there's a couple different concentrations you can pick from. There's the standard ones, which is, you know, stuff like animation and game design. There's also web design and business strategies. The one that I chose to pick was digital humanities, which I believe is called something different now. Mm-hmm. I think it's like digital culture, learning, and advocacy, which is a bit of a mouthful. I prefer digital humanities, but, you know, what are you going to do? So that's the one that I picked for my concentration, and it basically... The objective of that concentration is to study how the digital world interacts with typical humanities fields like history or psychology or something like that. A subset of this program is that they typically ask you to take a minor. So I also minor in human rights. And I've taken, you know, a bunch of human rights courses. I've taken some documentary filmmaking courses that have been just super awesome. And I would say that if I had to like sum up my studies that I partake in underneath my major, I would say that I am studying how human rights plays into the digital field and how it can, you know, how it can be helped and harmed by.
Gotcha.
By being used in that type of space.
Do you have any idea of what you want to do with this once you graduate?
That's a really good question. I would say that no. a decent part of that is because COVID has thrown a pretty big wrench into the works.
Of course.
But you know, part of that is also just typical uncertainty. Mm-hmm. I think if I was living in an ideal world, I would love to go into some kind of work in archives because I think that archival work is a very, it sounds very pretentious, but I feel like it's kind of like a very noble profession, just like the preservation of human knowledge, especially when it's stuff that like, you know, typically would get forgotten. Mm-hmm. I think that's very cool. You know, I think the whole systems that they've got going on in there are really cool. I've toured the campus archives a couple times, so that's what I'm referencing. But yeah, I really enjoy archival work. I think it has a pretty obvious connection to human rights in terms of, you know, documenting certain events throughout history, and, you know, raising awareness and that type of thing. So
So you and I were talking just the other day, actually, about your work in the archives at UConn. And can you tell me about some of the really cool stuff that you've come across and the things that you get to work with as far as the archives and things that UConn has?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I think probably by far the coolest thing that I had a chance to come across while I've been in the archives, this was on a tour. This wasn't when mm-hmm. I had officially like started my internship there or
gotcha.
You know, what have you. They had a chance to show us the original drawings that Maurice Sendak had done for Where the Wild Things Are. So his sketches, mm-hmm. A lot of his concept work, and mm-hmm. also the final versions that he hand drew, hand inked, and then sent out to the publishers to get printed. Like the, wow. the originals.
Where did you get that?
I think they told me, but it has escaped my mind, as many things do.
You're just in too much of shock seeing it to be able to remember where it came from.
Yeah, no, I think they were planning to do some kind of exhibit with it or something like that. Or maybe he was from Connecticut, awesome. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just like right there, right in front of me. They were like, yeah, here it is. Like not behind a glass screen or anything. And that was probably the coolest, because it was like such a direct connection to, mm-hmm. you know, obviously not only my childhood, but so many other different childhoods. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a pretty influential, I guess, mm-hmm. is the word, picture book.
Especially getting to see that like behind any sort of glass, you know, you're up close and personal with this thing. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it made it feel a lot more real. Mm-hmm. I've also worked with the diary of a railroad worker in Connecticut, I think. Either Connecticut or Massachusetts. I think it might actually be Massachusetts now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. out in Western Mass, by the name of John Merritt. And he kept a diary for just absolutely decades. And he had an entry for every single day, you know, including like wow. weather, daily events, you know, what he went to the grocery store to buy, everything like that. And it was my job to transcribe some of that, actually, to, you know, take his cursive writing and spelling errors and, you know, type it all out so people can read it better.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was an interesting look into, you know, what life was like back in, you know, the 1940s. That was when mm-hmm. that was the period that I was covering, at least. It stretched from like the 30s onwards.
I can only imagine what his handwriting looked like and how difficult
it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good.
Because I already know trying to decipher like my dad's chicken scratch is a task in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, 70, 80 years ago, handwriting from back then, I can't imagine what you'd be working with.
Oh, yeah. He also wrote in cursive.
Yeah.
I think. Or so if sure it wasn't cursive, it was some sort of really flowy script that was also impossible to read.
Just everything's on a complete slant, 45 yep. degrees. Yep. So I want to move on and talk a little bit about your history with WHUS, because mm-hmm. you are graduating soon and you've been
I am graduating soon
for a while. You were operations manager last year and mm-hmm. now you're general manager. And so, you know, what's been your favorite part about being at WHUS? I know it's probably so difficult to pick from all the memories and all the things, but what are some of the things you're going to miss?
Oh man, you're throwing out the heavy hitters. I'm actually gonna clarify as well. I've actually been here for 3 years. I was inventory specialist wow. before I was operations manager.
Gotcha.
And that was a job I applied for at the end of my freshman year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, honestly, like the thing that I'm going to miss the most about WHUS is honestly something that I already miss a lot. And that's mm-hmm. just going into the office and being able to see people and like get work done with a bunch of just really, really creative, you know, passionate, awesome, you know, musically inclined people. Mm-hmm. My music tastes have been expanded, you know, exponentially since I started here. And you know, that's not even to speak of like any kind of professional skills or, you know, friends that I've made, which mm-hmm. have also been you know, developed to a crazy degree. You know, I've made most of my college friends through the radio station, and I am super grateful for that, honestly. I think it's an awesome organization, and I'm definitely gonna be bummed to see it go. Or, well, I guess for me to go, it's not going anywhere.
To see yourself go, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's just, you know what? It's just so much of what I do at this point that I'm like, I always forget that it's like, oh yeah, this is like a permanent thing that will, you know, that will last once I'm done with it. But yeah, no, I have loved, absolutely loved working here. And it's just like some of the most fun I have had. I love the concerts. I think that's like the closest thing to your, like the direct, you know, answer. And I also liked having a show back in the day when I was still on campus.
What was it about? I don't think I've ever listened to it.
Oh man.
I might have to go and find it.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny. So for my show, I figured that I wanted to. So at the time I was like, I really like indie and alternative music.
Okay.
Which really, you know, huge shocker, right? I work at a college radio station.
Couldn't imagine.
Yeah. So I wanted to come up with something that would kind of distinguish myself from the rest. So I was like, all right, how about I only play certain kinds of indie and alternative songs, and I also adopt like an alter ego almost.
Okay.
So I made I came up with the idea of a show. I decided to call it Signal Intrusion, CS Florencia, which a signal intrusion is basically when you're broadcasting on the frequency of another broadcaster, like you're infringing on their frequency. And the concept behind the show was that I was the captain of a cargo ship, the CS Florencia, intruding on the signal of WHUS. And I would play songs that had a nautical theme or some kind of metaphor having to do with the ocean or boats or tides or storms or something like that. And I also had like a little bit of some in-universe lore there. The captain, the reason for the signal intrusion, it was sort of implied that he was trapped in some kind of other dimension.
Okay.
And like spooky stuff would happen on the ship sometimes, and I'd say something, you know, cryptic and weird during my mic breaks. Sometimes pre-planned, sometimes off the cuff. So sort of like, I guess, Night Vale-esque, if people are familiar with that podcast. But yeah, that was my show. It all kind of stemmed from seeing a post online talking about how all indie music and alternative music loves to use the ocean as a metaphor, which, hey, it works. So, yeah, but my DJ name at the time was Captain Everett Chatham.
Did you alter your voice at all to sound more like someone who was the captain of a ship?
Yeah, I did. I lowered it.
And oh,
I kind of spoke.
To hear it.
I spoke from the back of my throat more. Let me see if I can sum it up. You might have.
I was just gonna say, can you please give us a sample of your captain's voice?
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Gotta get in the mood.
Get in character. Take your time. I can give you something.
Let me grab
say
a drink.
If you need it. Yep.
All right. You are now tuned in to 91.7 WHUS. This is Captain Everett Chatham of the CS Florencia, and this is Signal Intrusion.
I love it so much. That's awesome.
Yeah. And no, I had fun with it.
How long did you have the podcast for, or the show for?
I had it for like maybe a semester and a half. I didn't have it for long because I basically started like around, you know, I started in the last, not this last fall semester, but the one before that. So I got kind of cut off by Corona. But yeah, I didn't have it for long, but I tried to have a lot of fun with it while while I did. It was a late night show too. It was at like, it was either from midnight to one or from one to two.
Oh my, you were like sitting in the station.
Oh yeah.
I don't understand the concept of people staying up past midnight. So excuse me for my like absolute shock.
Yeah, no, it was actually, it was really nice. It was very, mm-hmm. it was very tranquil. Mm-hmm. It kind of worked, I think, for the mood of the show that I was trying to go for. It has like, I'd always describe it as like the feeling when you're like in, if like back when you were in like, you know, in the school system, not in college, if you ever had to mm-hmm. go to the school past like 7 o'clock, walking through like the empty hallways with like the lights in the classrooms out and stuff like that, it felt a lot mm-hmm. like that.
Did you ever like, I can just imagine like being the only person in the station at like 1 or 2 a.m. Was there anything ever like really weird that happened or anything scary that late at night?
Yeah, there were like a couple ghosts that came in to like spook me and scare me and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, and they were really frightening. it was honestly, it was just like, it was quiet. More than anything, like it was just a quiet place for me to play some music and say weird stuff in a funny voice. And the only people I'd really see were our last events coordinator, who had the show mm-hmm. slot before me. I would see her, mm-hmm. and then I'd see cleaning staff, and that mm-hmm. was it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, no, it was actually very nice.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot.
I've been thinking of starting my own show, but I'm not entirely sure what it would be. And seeing as how you came up with something so creative and like so niche, kind of makes me want to come up with something more like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I would
definitely recommend it. Not to you know, flex too hard, but when I first submitted the show, the program director at the time, Bobby mm-hmm. Bickley, he said that it was the best air check that he had ever received.
Well, look at you go.
Yeah, yeah. So just a little bit of another little bullet point on my resume, but. Yeah,
best
no, I'm
of what's ever.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely make a show. It's a lot of fun. I have been kicking myself to try and start doing another show remotely. Mm-hmm. I have like an idea for the name and everything. I don't want it to be another themed one. I had mm-hmm. fun with it, but I think it kind of ran its course. Maybe it'll come back someday. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to do like kind of a standard radio show now. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it doesn't have the same charm now that I'm not mm-hmm. in the station.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll see one of those soon.
Yeah. Well, I can totally understand that. I mean, producing Husky Nation News from my house and now from my apartment off campus, it's just not the same. I think I've only ever produced Husky Nation News once in the station before. Mm-hmm. Everything fell to pieces, and I'd like to get back there and learn how to actually use the board, the soundboard, and all these technical things that I'm so afraid of. Yeah. I want to conquer my fears of technology.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed you'll have a chance to do that. You know, next year you're a junior, so you've got some mm-hmm. you've got some time left.
That
it's looking
true.
Like it's going to be, it's probably gonna be the last hurrah for me. I've already had my last hurrah in the station, but
no.
You know, it is what it is.
Well, you're welcome back all the time. And I think I can speak of for all WIS members when I say that. Is there anything coming up this semester that you want our listeners to know about, you know, before you're heading out? What are some of the last great lasting things that you're gonna be doing at WHUS this spring?
Oh man.
Like an event we've got coming up in about a month.
Honestly, there are so many events that I like, just giving me a month is like, I still don't know what you're talking about because I have like a billion different projects on my plate right now. Mm-hmm. Which one were you referring to?
I would be referring to Battle of the Bands this spring.
Yes. Yeah, that's an awesome event, and I am happy to say that I will have been on the exec board for two out of two of them.
Look at you.
Yeah, it got started last year. It was a project by the just super talented and awesome Julia Pugmeyer, who was our talk director. Although at the time she was assistant talk director. Yeah.
Working her way up.
She's great. Yeah. But yeah, it was a huge success. We had a bunch of people come out. It seems like people had fun. I actually was the one who designed the poster for it.
Oh, okay. Wait, actually, I just learned that the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. The one with the heart.
Yep. It was on Valentine's Day. I thought it was going to be really fun to have like a Valentine's Day themed battle.
I think it was great. Definitely a good move.
Yeah, but the second one is coming up here soon, and I'm super excited to see how it goes. It's obviously going to be looking very, very different, but I have nothing but, you know, trust, you know, and I know that, you know, the people who are working on it now are going to be able to pull it off just as well as anybody else could, because the radio station is nothing without the people who work there, so... You know, and those y'all have been doing just absolutely stunning. So can't wait to see what you
turn out. I've been to a couple of the meetings and they're working their butts off to make sure that even though, you know, it's not going to look exactly like it did last time, it's going to be something for everyone to enjoy. So I'm super excited about what it's going to look like. You know, there's going to be more coming out about that soon. And is there anything else that you want to say to the people and to WHUS before I let you go?
You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna take this opportunity to kind of put myself between a rock and a hard place. And I'm going to say that if you want to listen to any kind of radio show coming up here in the future, I am going to be starting up my show. I'm saying this on air so that I have to hold myself accountable.
Speak it into existence, man.
Yeah, and it's going to be called Songs from the Big Chair, which is, of course, a reference to the album by Tears for Fears. It won't all be 80s music. It's just going to be stuff that I like, hence the big chair.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. It's happening. Aiden will have a show this semester.
This semester.
And we're holding him to it, so be on the lookout for that. Well, Aiden, it was great talking to you. It's always wonderful getting to chat with you about our favorite thing, WHUS.
Yep.
And I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Before we head off, I've got a special shout out this week going out to Lizzie's Curbside and Catering, which will be celebrating its 30th anniversary on Monday. I'd like to thank Aiden once again for chatting with me this week. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music. And thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a safe weekend.